This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stasio. Colonel Morris Davis was the chief prosecutor for the military commissions at Guantanamo Bay from 2005 to 2007. He resigned from that position in 2007 in protest over the use of torture and for what he considered political interference in his prosecutions. Davis is now an assistant professor at the Howard University School of Law. He's speaking right now at North Carolina State University. We recorded this interview earlier today. Colonel Davis, welcome.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Tell us about what you thought you were getting into when you became chief prosecutor at Guantanamo. What did you think that job meant?
Well, I thought that we were committed to having full, fair, and open trials, that we were at war with al-Qaeda and the Taliban, and that those individuals that we'd captured that we believed committed war crimes would be held to account in a process that that we could be proud of. I mean, I think we have this romanticized notion of Nuremberg, and I'd hope that this process would be something that perhaps our grandkids would look back one day at Guantanamo the way we kind of look at Nuremberg now.
Well, there were people even at the time who felt that we didn't need to go to extraordinary means. We had a court system and that we could have used the courts to prosecute these folks. What was the theory about these particular trials for the people who they had in mind for the commissions?
Well, the concern was that these people, for the most part, weren't apprehended by law enforcement. So, chain of custody and rights advisements and the things that are commonplace in our normal criminal justice process often didn't apply. And also that some of the offenses that they were alleged to have committed were offenses that are typically more related to war than ordinary criminal conduct. And we had a long history of using military commissions in the past, but of course we hadn't used them since World War II, but we used them a lot in the past. And so that was the notion that these would be appropriate in the war on terrorism.
And what was your actual experience? For 2 years, you did this and, in fact, often defended the process when you were asked about it. So what was your experience in that time?
Well, when I took the job, I believe we were firmly committed to having full, fair, and open trials, and that we could do it in a way that would have been credible, that wouldn't have been an embarrassment to the country. And I had people that served above me that supported that philosophy, and that was the direction I thought we were headed. In the summer of 2007, a couple of those people retired, and some political appointees took their place, and they had a different mindset. When I was chief prosecutor, I'd made the decision we wouldn't use any evidence obtained by torture or enhanced interrogation techniques. And suddenly I had people above me that said, look, President Bush said we don't torture, so who are you to say that we do? And that was about the time I started thinking it was time to quit.
And who were you to say that you did? In other words, how did you find out and how did you determine that some of the testimony you got did come to you by way of torture?
Well, the problem was, Guantanamo wasn't created with a view towards prosecution. It was created as a facility to exploit people for intelligence. We chose Guantanamo because there were people that thought it was outside the reach of the law, that no court could touch it. For 200 years, the foundation of our country had been our commitment to the rule of law, and then suddenly we're looking for a facility that was outside the reach of the law where we could exploit people for intelligence. And so the problem I faced was taking information that had been collected for intelligence purposes and trying to use it in a criminal justice process. And I found that, what constitutes intelligence may not constitute good evidence. And so that was the real problem. It was like trying to fit a square peg into a round hole. It just didn't fit neatly. And I think that's what we're still seeing. It's been 11 years now since President Bush first authorized military commissions, and we've completed a grand total of 6 trials in 11 years.
Well, I think that was one of the other things I've seen you talk about, is that this was designed for the worst of the worst, the most threatening of criminals or war criminals threatening to the United States.
Right.
And yet you found that those were not the people you were prosecuting.
That's true. I mean, I think the public accepted that narrative that all these guys were the worst of the worst. And you probably remember the stories that we heard about how these people would chew through the hydraulic lines of the airplanes just to kill Americans. There were 779 people that were taken to Guantanamo. There are 166 that are still there. So 80% These people that we were told the worst of the worst, our government has decided to send home. Of the 166 that are still there, there are roughly 30 that the government would like to prosecute. So you're talking about, you know, less than 5% of all these people are even subject to being prosecuted. And I went into the job, I believed that narrative that these guys were all the worst of the worst, and I got there and I found that there truly are some that meet that description. I mean, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, for example, who regrettably spent 4 years in North Carolina and still had a bad view of America, really is amongst the worst of the worst. But there are a lot of others like Salim Hamdan and David Hicks and others who just didn't meet that description.
And that was David Hicks your first actual prosecution?
Actually, the only prosecution while I was chief prosecutor. And, it turned out that was a political fix between the White House and the administration of John Howard in Australia to try to help him in his reelection effort, which ultimately failed. But you mentioned earlier that there are two things that I found objectionable. One was evidence obtained by torture, and the other was the political interference. And the David Hicks case was purely political theater and had nothing to do with justice.
Well, and tell me how that worked. I mean, what was the connection there, and how do you feel that pressure? How does that come to you in your office?
Well, typically, in my 25 years in the military, plea bargains are common in courts-martial, but plea bargains are negotiated between the prosecution and the defense. In the case of David Hicks, it was a plea bargain, and as chief prosecutor, I had absolutely no involvement in it. We went to Guantanamo expecting to do about a 30-minute arraignment on David Hicks, and when I got there, I found there had been a plea deal negotiated behind my back, which happened to be shortly after Vice President Cheney had visited Australia, and John Howard, who was running for re-election that year, was just getting beat up in the press down in Australia about David Hicks.
And, of course, the other thing is that David Hicks is not the worst of the worst.
No, David Hicks was a little guy that wanted to have a big adventure, and I think he got more than he bargained for. But he certainly wasn't... he wasn't a Khalid Sheikh Mohammed by any means. Mm.
So what about the decision to resign? I mean, I guess we've heard the two reasons behind it. I mean, was that it?
That was primarily it. I was, I was being told that I had this evidence that for 2 years we had set aside and we didn't need to use. I mean, with Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, for example, there's ample evidence to prove his guilt in a federal court without using any statement he ever made in our custody. So that doesn't excuse our behavior and how we treated him, but if we're not going to use it in his criminal trial, it makes it irrelevant. But despite that, I was being told by people appointed above me that President Bush said we don't torture, so all that information needed to be presented in court and get these cases moving and get them done.
And, of course, the other interesting thing is, as you point out, they're not getting done, and there have been some much more high-profile and important cases that were indeed tried in our federal courts.
Exactly. While I was chief prosecutor, President Bush made the decision to transfer the detainees from CIA custody to the military at Guantanamo. And in September 2006, the plane landed at Gitmo, and 14 guys got off the airplane. And of the 14, there's only one that's been convicted and sentenced, and that was Ahmed Gilani. And he was convicted and sentenced in federal court in New York.
So we do have a criminal justice system that is apparently equipped to handle these kind of things with a due process of law.
It is. It seems at this point it's become vindicating the principle. There were people that thought military commissions were going to be swift, severe, and secret. And they based this on the Nazi saboteur trial during World War II, where from the time they were captured, they were convicted through Supreme Court review and executed in 100 days. And that was the model that this was based on. And so they thought it would be swift and severe and secret. And 11 years later, we've completed a grand total of 6 trials.
Well, and vindicating a principle not promulgated by this administration, are things better under the Obama administration? And why would Barack Obama need to vindicate a principle that was promoted by his predecessor?
I think President Obama was sincere when he took office and he said he wanted to close Guantanamo. But you had, if you recall, back in 2008 during the election, President Bush, before he left office, said he wanted to close Guantanamo, and both John McCain and Barack Obama said they did as well. it became a political issue. You know, when President Obama took office, the far right said their objective was to make him a one-term president, so whatever he was for, they were against. And so he faced a lot of stiff opposition in Washington to closing Guantanamo, and I just don't think he was willing to invest the political capital to make it happen. I mean, you know, the economy was crashing, health care reform was his top priority, and you had people like Dick Cheney and Liz Cheney that went out on the media circuit and said, you're either with us or you're with the terrorists. And the president didn't stand up and rebut that. And I think the public accepted that narrative. And so here we are, you know, in 2013, and Guantanamo is still in existence, and the military commissions just flounder on.
Colonel Davis, thanks so much for talking with us.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Colonel Morris Davis, former chief prosecutor for military commissions at Guantanamo Bay. He resigned in 2007 in objection to what he considered political interference and the use of evidence obtained by torture. He's now assistant professor at the Howard University Law School. Just ahead, monologist Mike Daisy talks about American utopias on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio. It's a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Please stay with us.